Welcome to the Technology Addicts Podcast, powered by Avnet Abacus. Today's episode will plug us right into the heartbeat of every electronic device, its power supply. Often only considered as an afterthought in product development, the power supply and the architecture it relies on can make or break a product's performance and reliability. From smartphones and laptops to household appliances, electric vehicles, and life-saving medical devices, optimizing power design is essential to maximize efficiency and ensure consistent performance across various load conditions. Beyond merely providing the voltage and current needed to drive an application, the power supply plays a crucial role in protecting sensitive electronics from voltage spikes, surges, and other potentially destructive anomalies. But with suppliers constantly developing innovative products that address fast-evolving market requirements, product developers can struggle to keep up to date on the latest, greatest solutions. Fortunately, these days, they don't have to go it alone. For this conversation, we're joined by two guests with extensive experience supporting customers facing precisely these types of power supply design challenges. The first is John Cooper, Technical Manager of Power and Energy Storage at Avnet Abacus. Hi, John. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jan. How are you?
Great. How about you?
I'm good. Thank you.
The second is Richard Craven, Senior Product Manager, Power and Batteries, also at Avnet Abacus. Hey, Richard, it's great to have you in the studio.
Hi, Anne. Thanks for having us. Look forward to this.
So, to get started, power is so central to electronics applications that decisions around power management can really make or break your product's success. Have you ever seen poor power design doom an application? And if not, have you experienced or heard about any close calls?
Yeah, where do you want to start? Crikey, what a first question. It's so important to what a customer's trying to do that actually it's very easy to get wrong, but also it's very easy to not apply enough focus to. You know, these are often, well, they are always mission critical. Without the power supply, a customer system fails. So I guess from our point of view, if only every customer saw it like that, I suppose. But when you're supporting life support machines, you know, we've just gone through the COVID pandemic. You think about the amount of ventilators that were required for people that were, you know, in danger of losing their lives. You know, these are all powered centrally by the type of components, well, by the component that we're designing in and selling to customers. So I think from our point of view, yes, we're a sales business, but we're also trying to make sure that the customer is getting what they need in terms of the right product that powers their application. So I think my greatest fear, I suppose, when we always start with a design is making sure the customer gives us enough time to really talk to them about exactly what it is they need, because we've got to get it right. We absolutely have to get it right.
So what makes good power design so difficult?
That's all relative. We joke internally that John and I kind of run the most complex part of what we do as a business. They are so complex. There are so many variables involved. And I think that's the thing that separates a power supply from maybe some of the other electronic components that, you know, companies like ours and our competitors sell, and also some of the other major manufacturers will manufacture that go through the same channels that we sell through. You could have temperature problems, you could have load problems. If an end application is in the middle of a desert somewhere in the Middle East, it requires a far more stringent set of rules than, you know, a product going inside into a building, because the temperature constraints are far different. The requirements for medical power supplies are very different in that they need much greater levels of isolation, because the isolation separates two key parameters within the power supply, and ultimately it's a safety barrier against a, you know, a patient that might be wired up to something, for example. So it's, I think for me, it's the variation of the requirement, it's the variation of every customer's need, and also it's the variation between the different markets that we serve as well. One power supply in a medical application will be completely wrong, for example, for a power supply in a railway application. So I think, sort of in short, it's the variables involved. You're never surprised by a customer requirement. There are so many different ones.
Just to add on what Richard's saying, just, you know, having that early enough conversation and understanding the full requirements that you kind of need within your design. Richard touched on, you know, heat and environments, those kind of things. So understanding your kind of the external environment and the internal environment is very important, because, you know, airflow is quite critical to what you're doing. And also, having those early conversations, you can build that kind of partnership between us and the customer that you can actually kind of fine tune the design a little bit together instead of just kind of going it alone.
So it really sounds like it takes an entirely different skill set. It's just adding on to the application specific skill set that the customer needs to bring. So can you talk about the most recent or the most important recent developments in power management? Like, what do listeners need to know?
You know, from my point of view, recent developments, you know, digital control has been around for a few years, but actually it's helping us move forward and allow us to kind of look at what happens in the power supply and lifetime. The other thing that's, you know, very new at the moment, well, new from a power point of view, is GaN technology and SiC technology, which is helping efficiencies.
So these are wideband gap semiconductor materials, right?
Yeah. So they're helping the design of the power supply. As Abacus, we're looking at complete modular solutions. So we work with our partners to kind of take that technology to customers and look to design for the future so that, you know, customers have the latest technology and the lifetime accordingly. So from my point of view, you know, those probably couple of areas of where we're seeing sort of the drive. And the more efficiency we get out of a power supply, the better for everybody along the design cycle.
I think just to add to that as well, I think when we look at development as a term, it's sort of fairly black and white. There are various different trends and power supplies are evolving, like John's just said. But when we look at something that's really black and white, that's changed and has to change for everybody within power, I guess the one big development we would see would be the change of the basic industrial safety standard. So all of the power supply manufacturers used to approve to 6950. That used to be the basic industrial electronic standard for power supplies. That changed, probably 3 or 4 years ago. So the new safety standard for all industrial electronics is now 62368. The changes are very limited. There are a few changes. If you bored enough one evening to read 1,000 pages worth of safety approval documentation, but you know, it's paramount to a power supply. If you're selling your power supply into the electronics space, in 99% of examples, you absolutely have to meet 62368 now instead of 6950. So that would be the main sort of concrete change that we've seen in the market.
Yeah, that's definitely something that developers want to keep in mind when developing products. And where do you see most innovation in power management solutions happening these days? So we've already mentioned wide bandgap semiconductors. What else is going on?
I think John touched on it earlier. Everything in the world is becoming more digital. I parked my car in a car park the other day, and the pay machine that you use is incredible. You can do all sorts on it. Be ordering my next cup of coffee on it, I think. So, you know, it's not just an analog piece of car parking equipment that takes coins. It's now a full digital system with screens, and there's all sorts of, you know, you drive in a car park and you see the parking bays with green lights on now. You know, the whole world is becoming more digital, and power supplies are no different. There's far more microcontrollers involved. The way you're able to remotely program and use the functionality that a power supply might come with without, you know, physically getting into a system and tweaking a potentiometer, for example, that's far more important to customers now, because their systems, like this car parking machine, you know, that's becoming far more fancy. So power supplies need to be with that. I guess the only other thing we now see is the use of DC-DC converters. Typically, you used to see it as an AC-DC power supply sold with multi-outputs. So you would have a 5-volt rail, maybe two 12-volt rails and a 24-volt rail, each powering something different. Whereas now, for efficiency reasons mainly, you'll see one power supply with one output and the use of further DC-DC converters that can isolate voltages that will power the different rails in the same way, but in a slightly more efficient and also actually a slightly more cost-effective way these days. So yeah, things are definitely changing.
Yeah, I was just going to say on the DC-DC side, you know, a lot of people need flexibility in the design so that we can, one way we can help that is that there, because we've driven more modular systems and solutions. So it allows our, you know, our customers to be a bit more flexible in their design and gives them a little bit of band room just in case things have changed. You know, layout is important, and some of these modules are kind of sticking to a similar kind of layout on the board so they can put things down. So, you know, having those conversations with us, Avnet, you know, allows us to kind of build the whole power tree.
So let's say I'm designing a new product. What would be the most important factors that I need to consider to optimize my power solution? Could you walk me through the process?
Are you working with Avnet or not?
In this case, I'd be working with you.
There's so many.
Good choice.
There's so many.
The list is quite long, but I think the biggest thing to understand is the customer knows their product really well. It's just trying to understand, you know, the wish list that you want to achieve at the end of it. Understand, I think I touched on it earlier about the environment that you're in. you know, where the product's going to go, if it's going to be somewhere very cold or somewhere very hot, and understanding the airflow in the system, because there's, you know, the environment is very important to a power supply, because, you know, trying to keep the thing cold is important. And there's the basic kind of wish list of input voltages, output voltages, etc. So building the partnership with Avnet Abacus is, and looking at where you want to go in your design, and actually having the time to do it and not do those last minute changes, makes your goals to achieve the launch of your product hopefully on time.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Richard?
I think John covered it well. I mean, ultimately, regardless of who you are, what you're designing, you're still working with volts and amps. So that will never change. It's everything around that, like John said. And it's impossible to sit here and list everything a customer might need, because every customer is different. But, you know, I guess you as a manufacturer need to put your trust in people that know what they're talking about. And I don't know, if we can sort of display a little bit of that today, then I guess we can move forward and cater for what the customer needs.
So that segues nicely to the next question. What are the benefits of working closely with a supplier like Avnet Abacus when designing your power supply?
I guess I try and look at this from a customer point of view. If I'm a customer, do I have time to do everything? If I'm designing something, I've got to have a lot of time and be very, I mean, they, you know, electronics engineers are so clever. They're some of the cleverest people you know. But to know everything about everything is, I don't know, maybe there are people out there that do. But I guess you need to trust some others to help you along the way. From our point of view, we go to market as a power supply specialist. You know, we have a specialist team of people throughout Europe that only design in and sell power supplies. So they live and breathe that every day. So I think from our point of view, we take a bit of the pain away. We give you more time back, because you as a customer don't need to worry about the power supply, hopefully. And, you know, there's everything else logistically that comes with it as well. We're a relatively big company. We are able to manage stock turn. We're able to manage your stock profile as a customer. We're able to do all the logistical parts of it as well. But core to what we're doing is, like I said right at the beginning, is absolutely making sure that the customer is getting the right product.
I think from my side, Richard's covered, you know, a lot of key points that you need to consider. And, you know, we can help with as Avnet Abacus. But the big thing for me is, you know, as a technical team, we get to see a little bit of a window that's not on the website, that's not documented out there. So we can see kind of almost see the future a little bit. So we can take those suggestions and ideas to you. And if we get to build a partnership with our customers, we can understand where they want to go. So that allows us to kind of speed things up and be more supportive in future designs.
So it really gives customers a head start in their designs. That's great. Now, as we move to a zero net emissions future, what are power supply solution providers doing to position themselves in terms of sustainability?
It's huge now. Environmental social governance is absolutely key to power supply manufacturers. We're now asked by most customers as to our plan as a business. You know, there's all sorts of sort of net zero targets banded around, and obviously we have one. But further to that, we're asked about the supplier, the manufacturer's plan as well. And plans are a thing. Manufacturers do have teams of people putting plans together to ensure that they are net zero by a date. And there are a number of different dates banded around, so I'm not going to stick to one day, but it's absolutely paramount. And of course, the most efficient thing that either we or a power supply manufacturer can do is make the product to be as efficient as possible, because the waste heat from the product ultimately has wider ramifications. So the number one action, I suppose, if you're a power supply manufacturer, is to make your product as efficient as possible. Further to that, some of the power supply manufacturing facilities, whether they be in Europe or in the US or out in Asia, are some of the most advanced, technologically advanced factories in the world. So lots of collecting rainwater, reharvesting rainwater, solar panels everywhere, you know, all that sort of stuff, and some genuinely really impressive facilities. But like I said initially, paramount to what they're doing, it's really important that the power supplies themselves are as efficient as possible. Anything to add to that, John?
No, I think you've covered all the points of that. You know, everybody's driving for a better, cleaner future, really. And, you know, everybody kind of sees the vision to kind of achieve that as soon as possible. So it is a very good conversation point.
Okay, so we're already reaching the end of the episode. At the end of each episode of The Technology Addicts, we ask our guests the same question. What would you say is your current technology addiction? It could be anything from a gadget that you recently bought to an entire field of technology that's captivated you. John, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'm actually probably going a bit old tech at the moment. It might be just a bit reminiscent of what we've just done through for the last few years, but I actually got a CD-ROM and just downloaded. I've been downloading all my old music. Okay, it's not vinyl, but you know, CDs, put them on so I can actually listen to something. Instead of buying it from digital downloads, I've been kind of trying to find these old albums and doing that, and you know, just listening to stuff that I haven't heard forever. So yeah, you know, I suppose reminiscing my youth a little bit.
Showing your age there, John.
Yeah, probably. So I've been out of that for 20 years almost, so you know, it's good to kind of just, you know, listen to things that you haven't listened to for a while and just you kind of forgot about, or just make some time for things. It's good. So that's me at the moment.
Richard, what about you?
I absolutely do my missus head in looking at cars. So I guess I've just bought a new car. So I'm supposed to have stopped researching cars, but that will never happen. Yeah. Had this have been about 3 weeks ago, I think I'd have definitely said that. I'm quite into my coffee as well. So I'm forever looking at coffee grinds and temperatures that you grind it through at and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I'm a bit weird like that.
All right. Thank you. So with that, I'd like to thank John and Richard for joining us for this episode of the Technology Addicts podcast. Dear listeners, if you'd like to get in touch with John or Richard, you can reach out to them. You'll find all the contact information in the show notes. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us today. Stay tuned for our next conversation right here on the Technology Addicts podcast.